The lesson this morning is titled, Why Me? And this question is asked, I suppose, by all of us. A little boy is born without an arm and without a leg, and he has to grow up all of his life being different and ask the question, why me? A young person is in a car wreck and has to live in a wheelchair the rest of his life and ask the question, why me? A young lady obeys the gospel and all of her friends do not want to be her friends any longer because she's living as a Christian and she asks the question, why me? This lesson, as you can tell from the picture on our PowerPoint, is about bearing crosses, which we all must do. Turn your Bibles with me, as has already been read this morning, to Luke chapter 9 and to verse 23. And as Justin already read, verse 23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Why me? Why must I bear a cross? You must bear a cross because you are a Christian. And because each and every one of us as Christians has a cross to bear. That is the simple answer. Why me? Because you're a Christian. Continue on in verses 24 through 26, and let's notice what Jesus says in these verses. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. So when we're talking about bearing crosses, we're talking about something more than the physical things and the earthly things that cause us so much trouble, but we're talking about something greater than that. As Christians, we must take up our cross every day and bear it in order to gain eternal life. Now listen, if we do not bear our cross today, we will not have eternal life tomorrow. That's the way that it works. Verse 25, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Turn your Bibles also with me over to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And notice that there is a price for us to pay as Christians. And this price is to bear a cross. In chapter 14, beginning in verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now listen, when we ask the question, why me? Why am I the one who has to live in this life without an arm or without a leg? Or why am I the one that lost my friends? The reason is that there is a price to pay, and that I must put God first in my life. Verse 27. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus tells us that a slave is not greater than his master. And Jesus had to bear a cross, didn't he? Jesus literally had to bear a cross and be crucified on Calvary. And we are no greater than him. And so we have a cross we must bear also. Why me? Why must I bear a cross? It is because I'm a Christian. Now turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As a Christian, I am different from other people in the world, and because of that, I must bear a cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Verse 14, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Now look at verse 17. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Jesus tells us that darkness hates light, And Jesus tells us that the darkness hated him because he was light, and that the world is going to hate us because we are light. And so because we are different from the world, we have a cross to bear. In our young men's class, we were talking about this, and we gave an illustration. And I forget who brought up the illustration of the woman who works in the lunchroom. And she's there, it's hot and it's sweaty, and she's slaving away, and she's worked all day to prepare this meal for the children who are there. And you remember, probably as I do, going through school, those who worked in the lunchroom were usually despised by the students. And we talked about what would it be like for a Christian to come through the line at school and then to tell that person, "Thank you. I appreciate what you've done for me. Thank you for being here to help us." That would be a good thing. That would be acting as Christians should act. But what are all the other students in line going to say about that? They're going to scoff, aren't they? Unless they're a Christian. They're going to scoff. Perhaps they'll whisper, they'll make fun of that individual who would stoop down so low to tell a lunchroom worker, "Thank you." As Christians, we have to bear a cross because we're different from other people. We act differently, we think differently, we behave differently, and therefore we're going to be criticized for that. But yet as Christians, we can't be afraid to step out, bear our cross, and act like a Christian. Be the light of the world, as we should be. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, but we are blessed as we carry these crosses different from the world. Verse 22. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. "Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man." Now think about the illustration of the Christian going through the line at school. And I can just imagine this is what would be happening to them. Others would hate them, ostracize them, insult them, and scorn them because they had the audacity to be nice to a lunchroom worker. But what does Jesus say in verse 23? "Be glad in that day and leap for joy." Would that be your attitude standing in the line, hearing all your friends criticize you? Certainly one part of you would not be leaping for joy, but another part of you should be, because of what Jesus says, "Behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets." Why me? Because I'm a Christian. Because I'm different from others in the world, and they are going to hate me, scorn me, ostracize me, make fun of me, speak evil of me as I act as a Christian. That's why. Now turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 5. Why me? Well, so that God can make you stronger. Why must I bear a cross? Well, so that God can make you stronger. Remember in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the fact that he is the vine and we are the branches, and God is the vine dresser. And he is talking about this in verse 2, that God as the vine dresser prunes the branches. Now, how does he do that? Let me suggest to you that in part he prunes us, he makes us better people, stronger, by bearing this cross that we must bear. In Romans chapter 5 and beginning in verse 2, let me bring up a couple of passages you're very familiar with. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, and look at the latter part of that verse. The American Standard says, "We exult," but I really like the King James that says, "We rejoice." We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint. And so as Christians, God is using these difficulties in life, He's using these crosses that we must bear to make us stronger. I'm reminded of being a freshman in college, and I was in the music program. And there the professors made life as difficult on us as they could. And one of two things happened. We dropped out. And if we couldn't hack it, they wanted us to drop out. Number two, they made us toughen up and be the best we could be and to take on the challenge of being in that program. And I think as I talk with college students, that's pretty much the way that it is everywhere. That's why it's difficult for a senior in high school to go to college, because things are much different. Your professors don't care necessarily if you fail. They don't care if you don't come to class. They don't care if you don't do your assignments. They don't care if you fail. They don't care if you drop out and never come back. You better be tough enough to deal with it or go do something else. God, I believe, uses these tribulations and these crosses that we must bear to toughen us up. At the same time, He's giving us the strength. We're not going to talk about that this morning. He gives us the strength to be able to bear these crosses and to succeed and to rejoice doing that, but we must toughen up at the same time. Turn your Bibles to another very familiar passage, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and it seems to me the older I get as a Christian, the more this passage means to me. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Consider it all joy, or the King James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result. Perfect result. It brings you to perfection. It brings you to maturity. It toughens you up. It makes you stronger so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, this reminded me of a few things. It reminded me of exercise, which I've been feeling guilty about for especially the last couple of years because I've not been doing enough of it. But I remember when I used to exercise a whole lot more, that I'd be lifting the weights and my muscles would start to burn and I would feel this burn going on and it would be hurting my muscles. It would be painful and I would push myself just one more time, then just one more time, then just one more time until I couldn't even bring it all the way up. The old expression, no pain, no gain. Unless we cause pain, unless we make it hurt, then we're not going to become stronger. The same thing as being a Christian. If we live throughout this life, we don't have trials, we don't have tribulations, we don't have crosses to bear, we're not going to get stronger. We're going to be the same weak people we were from the very beginning and not grow to maturity and not become perfect, because there was no pain. There must be pain to have gain. This reminded me of a football player, because we're now in football season. I'm thankful for that. Although I'm not thankful that my team lost yesterday and by so many points, but I still enjoy football. Looking at Gary Palmer and some of the Florida fans here as they got, boy, I can see those bright white teeth from up here, you know. And, you know, a football player, I remember in Thomasville, football is a big, big thing. And I would see some of the teams practice sometimes, and the coaches would wear them down where they couldn't hardly move at all. They had to be beat down so that they could be stronger the next time. And that, I believe, is what God is doing with these trials. Why me? Why must I bear these crosses? Why must I have the tribulation? Why must I have all the trials so that God can make you stronger? Therefore, Paul says, rejoice. And James says, count it all joy. That's the challenge, isn't it? Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. Why me? Why must I bear a cross? Similar to the fact that we are different from the world, but differently, I want to make this point. I must bear a cross because I love my fellow man and I love my enemies. You know, some crosses are put on us without any choice. We don't have a choice about it. That whether it's circumstances, it's the family in which we're born, it's the country in which we're born, it's the physical shape of our body when we're born, we have no choice. But there are other crosses we voluntarily pick up and carry. I could sort of put this into the context of being here 20 minutes early for our children. You're either going to pick up that cross and do it and get not quite as much of a nap and miss some of your football game, or you're not going to pick up that cross. It is your choice to do that. In Romans chapter 12 and beginning in verse 14, here we have choices about this and how we interact with other people. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. We have a choice whether or not we're going to pick up this cross or not. It's not laid upon us by birth or by the nation in which we live or the family in which we live, but we decide whether we're going to do that or not. Skip down to verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. It is up to us whether or not we want to pick up this cross and act the way God wants us to act or not. We have a choice. Look at verses 20 and 21. Now it's going to really get hard. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's say someone at work was being a real bully, or somebody at school, and causing grief to all sorts of people, and the majority of people hated this individual, didn't like this person, didn't want anything to do with this person, and what if you walk up and you're nice to them? What are all those other people going to think about you? So we hate that guy. We don't want to do anything nice to that guy. We want to make life as miserable as possible for that guy. What are you doing being nice to him? That's a cross. And I tell you what, do it a few times and you're going to become rather unpopular. Because the people over here want to hate that person. They don't want to be nice to that person. And anybody who's going to be nice to that individual is not going to be their friend. They're going to put you in the same category with him. But what does the Bible want us to do? The Bible wants us to be nice and to be good and to do good. Not to be like everyone else. Will we take up that cross and live the way God wants us to live? Turn your Bibles with me over to James chapter 1 and verse 27. Here's another cross that we either decide to pick up and carry or we do not. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress. This is what God wants us to do. God wants us to visit, to go to those individuals who need help and to help them. To do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And it's our decision whether or not we're going to pick up that cross and do that. And let me tell you what, there's a lot of things around here that can be done, that need to be done. I'm going to tell you something. One person from this congregation could be at Irene's house every day and do the dishes and vacuum the floors and wipe off the table. Because I'm going to tell you something, because she can't do it herself. Now that's a cross we must decide whether or not we're going to carry or not. And that's just one example. And it's very easy for us to decide not to pick up that cross and not to carry it because nobody's here making us do it. But James tells us in James 1:27, this is the test. Put yourself to the test. Pure and undefiled religion is this. Are you going to get off of the couch? Are you going to turn off your favorite football game and not see the end of the game to see what the score is? I wouldn't have minded that yesterday. And go help somebody. Test yourself. Are you taking up those crosses that only you can decide whether to take them up or not? There was a young man who had saved $2,000 for a car, and there was a classmate who had cancer and had to have $50,000 for his first treatment. And they had the typical car washes and all the things that go on. And he was $2,000 short. This young man went and got every penny out of the bank and gave it to his friend. Did he have to do that? No. Anybody make him do that? No. He decided to do that. That was a cross he took up. That's not a true story, by the way. But there's other true stories I have told you about the young boy who was disabled and his teacher had a young child and the child had cancer and he needed a large sum of money. The little boy went and got his piggy bank and took it to his teacher's house. That is a true story. Will we take up these crosses or will we not? Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Why me? Why me? Well, because I'm a Christian, because I'm different from the world, because I love my enemies and my fellow man. But also, I think this is a very, very important point. Why me? Because you are strong enough. That's why. We must understand this about crosses, that God will not put more on us than we can bear, nor will He allow for us to put more on ourselves than we can bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And I'll tell you something, bearing a cross is a temptation. What is the temptation? To turn away from God to get rid of the cross. That's the temptation. Not to go out and visit the widows and orphans. Not to be kind to our fellow man. Not to obey God and receive all the criticism because of it. That's the temptation. But God says He will not allow us to be overtaken by these temptations. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Someone asked the question, why me? The reason is you are strong enough to deal with it. That's why. If you weren't, you wouldn't have it. Turn your Bibles with me over to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The fact is, we are not all strong enough to bear every cross. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Not everyone should pick up every cross. Not everyone should try to do everything, because we're not all capable of doing everything. The Lord has blessed us as we grow and mature to do different things. And so there may be some crosses you cannot pick up. But there are other crosses you can pick up. And as you pick them up, you'll be blessed for doing that. Very quickly, I want to make one other point, and that's Luke chapter 21. Perhaps we do not realize and think about things in these terms. But sometimes we must bear a particular cross or be in a particular situation to have an opportunity to share the gospel with other individuals. Luke chapter 21 and beginning in verse 12. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Think about for just a moment the cross Jesus had to bear. And as he was crucified, having been scourged, having worn the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and there crucified upon the cross, and giving up his spirit as he had authority from the Father, and then having the spear thrust into his side and water and blood came from that, do you remember the reaction of the centurion, the man in charge of his crucifixion? Surely this is the Son of God. After all of that, all of the things which had occurred, as he watched Jesus Christ upon the cross, he did not revile in return. He did not curse in return. To the thief who was there on the cross who said, "Remember me," he said, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." He witnessed Jesus bearing his cross and said, "You know what? This has to be the Son of God." Think about first century Christians. As they were persecuted, as they endured horrendous trials, as some of them were crucified, as Peter being crucified upside down, unworthy he thought to be crucified as Jesus was crucified. Some of them were dipped in wax and lit to light Nero's garden. Some of them were sewed up in the bodies of dead animals, and then they were thrown to the lions so the lions could have a wonderful time. What happened? The gospel spread throughout all the world in 30-some years. Every person heard the gospel of Jesus Christ at the height of persecution. You may be bearing a cross as an opportunity to share the gospel with someone else. Let me tell you something. Suffering is a powerful testimony. When others see us suffer and they see us bear our crosses the way the Lord wants them to be born, it says one thing to them: this person has such strength that it must be from God. And I need to know why this person is so strong. A great testimony. And as I think about the end of life here and the cross that must be borne oftentimes at the end of life, what is the greatest lesson we're ever going to teach our children and our brethren? And I pray I'll be able to teach all my children this lesson. It's how to die. How to die. There are people living in difficult situations who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people are living in poverty. Some people are living in unsafe conditions. Some people are living under tyrannical governing authorities. And somebody has to pick up a cross to take the gospel to those people. Somebody has to do it. Will we pick up our cross? Everyone here has one. And as we pick up our crosses to the glory of God, we are blessed. And as a Christian, indeed you have a cross, but let me ask you this. Do you need to pick another one up? Do you need to pick another one up? Think about that. Don't ask why me. Ask why not me? Why not me? Why shouldn't I be bearing that cross? And I think we'll all come up with the answer. There's no reason for me not to do it. No reason for me not to do it. I'm a Christian. I'm different from the world. I love my fellow man. I'm strong enough. I can lead others to Christ with it. It should be me. It should be me. We're going to offer the invitation. We're not going to sing one song, particular song in our songbook this morning, but that song asks the question, should Jesus bear his cross alone? And my question is, if you're not a Christian, are you going to let Jesus bear his cross alone, or are you going to help him? And that's a pretty interesting way to look at it. And if you are a Christian this morning, and maybe you've grown, maybe you've matured, maybe you're ready to take on another cross, are you going to take it on? Are you going to take it off Jesus? Are you going to help Jesus more with a more difficult cross? Think about that. If you're not a Christian, won't you become one? Believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing He is the Son of God, being baptized today, and begin carrying your cross. Won't you do that? If we can help you, won't you come to the front as we stand and sing?